Okay, I'll declare the meeting open at 9:30, and I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people who are the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet. I would also like to pay respect to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to other Indigenous Australians who are present here today. I'd just like to read the public conduct at the meetings. All members of the public present at the meeting must, not without prior approval of the chairperson, make any audio or video recording or take any photographs. Remain quiet and not disrupt the meeting in any way. Not bring into the meeting any signs, placards or items that may cause a hazard or interfere with any person present. Be suitably dressed and turn all mobile devices to silent mode. Better check my own. There we go. Turn all mobile devices to silent mode and leave the meeting to take any calls. As chairperson, it is my responsibility to warn a member of the public present at the meeting who is not complying with any of these requirements and may, with or without such warning, require that person to leave the meeting and not return for such period as the chairperson decides. This period may include future meetings. Now, the Mayor at some stage is going to teleconference this. She and Councillor Mitchell are up at the local government conference at Gladstone. She was going to call in now, but Logan City Council aren't available to move their motions, so they've asked our Mayor to do that on their behalf, so she'll now be teleconferencing in later. So will I do this motion now or at the end, when the Mayor phones in? Okay, so we'll do the motion now, so when the Mayor is available, she can phone in. So can I have a mover and a seconder, please, that permission be given for Mayor Karen Williams to take part in the general meeting today by teleconference. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Hughes. All in favour? Passed unanimously with Councillor Tolte and Councillor Elliott out of the room and Councillor Mitchell. And now can I ask for a mover and seconder that a leave of absence be granted for Councillor Mitchell as he is also attending the local government conference in Gladstone. Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Edwards. All in favour? Thank you. And now we move to our devotional segment. And today we've got my friend Scott Frame from the Bayside Community Church Salvation Army, who is a member of the Redlands Minister Fellowship, to lead the council in a brief devotional segment. Thank you, Scott. There we go.
I'm constantly reminded as I think of our councillors and our city, and pray for you all, that there's a great necessity to recognise the role that you hold and what it brings to your table day by day. And I imagine that on many days, you probably feel that all it brings is complaint. All it brings is people who are coming to say, I'm really unhappy about this, I'm not pleased at all about that. That can be an endemic culture with the reality in which you people find yourselves. And so I want to come today and just bring a very short and hopefully restorative moment around that reality, because I recognise that complaint is important. For people to raise issues is a very important matter in public life. But I also recognise that I think there's some truth to this statement, a statement made by Dr. Dale Robbins some years ago. He said, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. Now I wonder whether they have more and more problems because they can continue to complain. Complaining sometimes doesn't change things at all. It doesn't make things better. It can amplify frustration. It can spread dissent and discord. And it can provide an invitation for the evil one to create havoc with our thought life. And I think I have some sympathy with that reality. What's any sort of restorative or antidote to the culture of complaint? It's simply a spirit of thanksgiving. And so I encourage you simply today with one verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul shared this with the followers of Jesus back in the first century, and I think it has great application to today. He said, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So God's will for people everywhere is to inhabit a spirit of thanksgiving. I hope you notice that in that phrase it says, be thankful in all circumstances. We all recognise that there are many things in life that will sometimes cause us distress and pain and angst. And yet I believe God calls us to find a way to simply also be thankful, even through those moments. And as I pray that is your experience as counsellors, I think it can also pervade the life of people in our city. As they come to see you and perhaps have very legitimate points that they wish to, that they seek to raise with you, that you may be able to encourage in them this spirit of thanksgiving, to celebrate what we do have rather than always see the lack. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us. I think God has designed it into us to have a spirit of thanksgiving. He truly knows that it makes us operate better. It gives you a better opportunity to be the counsellors that we seek you to be for our city if you operate from this place of thanksgiving. So I truly do pray and encourage you to inhabit that space. Just a short story that I love when I think of this spirit of thanksgiving. It's about a man who found himself growing up in America. His family had come from Europe one generation earlier, and his father ran a small business, and this man had become an accountant. So he went to see his father, and he said, "Dad, show me the books of the business. Show me how things are going." And his dad, who'd been an immigrant from Europe and started his little small business in the US, said, "I don't know. I actually don't know how the business is going. I don't know what the bottom line is." And this fellow said to his dad, "I can't believe that. How can you not know?" And he said, "Son, it's as simple as this. When I came into this country all those years ago, all I had was a pair of pants. Now that I'm here, I sit back and I see a son who's an accountant, a daughter who's a doctor, your mother and I with a house and a car and all the things that we need in life. So, if I do the sums on it and take away the pair of pants, everything else is profit to me." And I think it's absolutely true in life that we have so many blessings and so much richness in our lives, and I pray that you sense that and feel that in your family circles, in the material blessings of your life, that you can live with this spirit of thanksgiving and as a result seek to encourage others to see it as well. That they might also be thankful, despite seeing the world right, be thankful in all circumstances and see that that's God's design and plan for all of us. Let me pray for all of you today. Dear Lord, the giver of all good gifts, I pray that each person in this room today may sense that they have been blessed by you. That even as they come today potentially with issues and matters that are of great importance to them and that are troubling them, they can also see those things that bring sunshine and life and health and happiness and joy and fulfillment into their lives. And that as they reflect on those things and seek to be thankful in all circumstances, they can be carriers of this thanksgiving spirit and share it effectively with others. That our city might be a place where people embrace the spirit of thanksgiving, raise the issues that need to be raised, but do it in a way that celebrates what we already have and what we share together. We live in a beautiful city. We are blessed with a team that's seeking to take us forward, and we pray that we can encourage them to live in that spirit of thanksgiving, and we, as the constituents of this city, can do the very same thing, because God, it is your design for us, and we pray it over these people and this city today. In your name, amen.
Thank you. We now move on to recognition of achievement, but I haven't had any advice. And receipt and confirmation of the minutes of the general meeting, 4th of October 2017. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Edwards. You have a question, Councillor Hughes? Yep.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I have a question to our CEO, Mr. Chesterman. From the last minutes, matters outstanding from previous council minutes, item 6.1 and 6.2, requests for reports, areas surrounding Birkdale School of Arts and fire management plans. In both of those resolutions, it was noted that you were going to report back to us, but we didn't have any sort of timeline or indication of where we were going with these reports. So I'd like some clarification on that. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Councillor Hughes, and through Deputy Mayor. The fire report is actually coming back today, so it's in today's agenda, and I'll be speaking to that. The Birkdale School of Arts report will come back more likely in the new year. I've asked officers for a timeline on when, and they're working through the scope of that at the moment. I think Councillor Bishop put the notice of motion up. We're actually working that through at the moment, but it will be in the new year. And I don't have a specific date, but I'm told probably early in the new year.
Thank you. If there's no more questions, we'll put the motion. All in favour of the minutes? Thank you. We'll move on to public participation. Can I have a mover and seconder, please, that we adjourn for 15 minutes so the public may address to allow? Moved, Councillor Bishop, seconded, Councillor Gleeson. Now, I haven't got any actually noted, but I'll be, just before I read out the whole spiel, was there anyone in the gallery that did want to speak today? Otherwise, it saves me reading it out. No? Okay. So now we'll just go back into normal meeting. Thank you. Move that. Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Seconded, Councillor... Didn't we vote on that? I thought we did. No, they did. And I did call a vote. So I don't need to vote to move out of it then? Okay. All right. Sorry. I thought you did put your hands up. Well, it saves us reading all of that. I was trying to anyway. Petitions and presentations. I haven't been advised of any. If any councillor has one? Nope. Okay. Motion to alter the order of business. I need a motion to accept a late item. Councillor Bishop, you move to accept it. Yeah. Councillor Elliott, you second that motion? Yep. Do we have to have the number that it's going to become? That a confidential late item, appeals 4940 of 2015, 2 of 2016 and 44 of 2016-128 to 144 Boundary Road, Thornlands, be received and discussed as item 15.2.3. And the reasons for confidentiality being starting or defending legal proceedings involved in it. Okay. So Councillor Bishop has moved, Councillor Elliott seconded it. All in favour? Okay, that's been accepted. Just remind councils of their material, personal interest and conflict of interest. Councillors are reminded of their responsibilities under the Local Government Act 2009 in relation to a councillor's material, personal interest or conflict of interest about a matter to be discussed at a meeting. A summary of the responsibilities are included in the agenda. So then we move on to reports to council. 10.1.1, can I have a mover and seconder? Thank you. Sorry. Move. Councillor Hughes, seconded Councillor Bishop. Is the amended one included? Yep, and you've all got your amended ones, I think, printed off and distributed yesterday. Okay, did anyone want to speak to that, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you again, Deputy Mayor. I'd just like to note that I appreciate that we've had an amended version and it was sent around following us receiving these packs, but I'm disappointed to see that we've had this amended version come out. There is some confusion, even between ourselves, as to what version we were looking at. So I'd just like it noted that I was disappointed in that. Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? We'll put the motion. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. 10.1.2, report of the Audit Committee meeting. Can I have a mover? Thank you. Councillor Bishop. No, and seconder, Councillor Edwards. Would anyone like to speak to that? Councillor Bishop.
I'll just move the report to the Audit Committee meeting for 7th of September, noting it's just an update. Thanks for the great work that the Audit Committee meeting do. Thanks.
Yep, I'll second that one. All in favour? Thank you. Passed unanimously. Then we move on to the 10.1.3, the fire management. If I can have a mover. Thank you, Councillor Edwards. And a seconder, Councillor Elliott. Councillor Edwards, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, item 10.1.3, fire management, will be reported us today. I move the officer's recommendation to accept the report recommendations and endorse the action plan. This report is a 3-month progress update on the actions to achieve the recommendations of the review from the Queensland Fire and Emergency Service. Before I progress, I'd just like to thank all the councillors for accepting this report, as what we all want to do is keep the community safe, and that's a paramount concern. There's no such thing as personal differences when it comes to safety for our residents in the city, and wherever they reside, and I believe without exception, every councillor strives to ensure we deliver a safe living environment for all of our residents. There were 56 recommendations to improve community safety, and they were divided into 6 categories. And the council has recognised that this is a whole of council response and also extends beyond the islands to the mainland and its implications. Illegal dumping and hoarding extends everywhere in the city, and actions have taken place in this space. Unfortunately, we do have some people in our community who have become homeless through circumstances, and the islands has meant an increase of people living rough in the bush. And this has broader social impacts. However, from a fire safety perspective, it does present some unacceptable risks. We need a whole of government.
Thank you, Councillor Edwards. The CEO would also like to speak.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. This report was handed down in July, and I'm going to ask Mike Tate, maybe to come forward. He'll present, a few slides which will be helpful to both councillors and the community in terms of understanding this report. So while I'm sort of introducing this, as Councillor Edwards said, the report outlined 56 recommendations, of which 52 have commenced and 4 are reliant on other recommendations to commence. The organisation has set up a steering committee organisationally, originally chaired by Mike Lolbach, who's since moved on from council but is now chaired by Andrew Ross, our General Counsel. And this three-month update represents that whole-of-government approach that you just heard Councillor Edwards talk about in terms of delivering improved public safety across Redland City. Both ministers and director generals and CEOs of a number of government departments have been approached and have provided their support for the work being undertaken. And I guess we've put a multi-pronged approach to improving community safety through the implementation of this report. As Mike will talk through, we've divided the report up into six themes. So 56 recommendations across six themes of being illegal dumping and hoarding, low community resilience and disaster preparedness, emergency response capacity across multiple agencies, maintenance plans and access trails, local laws and legislation, and access to water and fire hydrants. And to deliver against these recommendations, Council's had to refocus its efforts and establish a more proactive approach to its business as usual approach. This also includes, I think, personal visits from many of the management team, including myself, across much of the area that was subject to the report itself. And I guess just getting our people across more frequently, particularly to the southern Moreton Bay region, opens our eyes to the things that have been highlighted in the report. This will also ensure continuous improvement in terms of our mitigation practices and our disaster preparedness. However, as Councillor Edwards said, we realise this is a shared responsibility and we need the community and business to do their part in being prepared. And in that light, we've undertaken a number of initiatives already, including our Spring Clean campaign and the Street Speaks campaign, to build community awareness and be a call to action to take steps to be more resilient and more prepared. We certainly are all in this together. Some of the headline statistics in the last 3 months have been 14 prescribed burns this year, totalling 61.4 hectares, 11 on the mainland, 3 on the in the Simbi Islands, Russell Island in particular, 287 fuel reduction areas slashed, 474 fuel reduction areas slashed on Simbi Island. Sorry, the first one, the 287, was on the mainland, 268 blocks slashed in the Simbi Islands, 154 fire access trails across the mainland and Simbi Islands have had work done on them. We've had much community engagement and through the Street Speaks program, hundreds of hours over many weeks on both the Simbi Islands, the mainland and North Stradbroke Island. Our Spring Clean campaign has seen over 13,000 letters sent out to residents across the city, particularly Redland Bay, Mount Cotton, Sheldon and the Simbis. We've had 3,700 leaflet drops, we've had posters, media releases, digital media and advertising on passenger ferries and advertising in the local papers and editorials in the Friendly Bay Islander. So I'd now like to hand over, if I may, Madam Chair, to Mike, just to give a few slides just to speak in detail to some of the work that's happened.
Okay. Morning, councillors. Thank you, Madam Chair. What I'm going to run through now is just a brief overview of some of the work that's been done and to give you a bit of an appraisal, although the CEO's done a pretty good job of that already, of some of the important work that's been occurring. Okay, so putting this together, and the CEO sort of elaborated on this before, we've really taken we're all in this together approach, because it's not just the whole of government approach. Obviously, there's a wide range of council that's been involved in this process. We have engaged with quite a number of state government departments, but on top of that, we've also engaged with business, particularly our major telecommunications providers, as well as the community. And at the end of the day, community safety is not going to come together unless we have the community involved. So it really is a case of we're all in this together if we're going to improve the safety across the islands and across the mainland. Now, part of that, we've had a particular visit to the islands. We've toured the islands and had a look at a number of the issues across the islands, and this is with our state government and our business counterparts to basically form working groups to start to address some of these issues. And some of these issues relate to telecommunications and black spots across the island, as well as the social issues around hoarding, some homelessness, or living rough. as you can appreciate, these issues are not something that's addressed overnight. There's quite an extensive amount of work that goes into this, and what we've done, we've initiated the process, and as we're moving forward through that, we're starting to see results. And I know Councillor Edwards has already raised some of those results that's come through, particularly around the communication side of things. Now, part of that process was the mapping of the vulnerable communities, and you can sort of see a quick display up there of some of the issues that we've identified across the community. Now, this has never been done before, so this is the first time these issues have been mapped. I'm not aware of this being done in any other local government area either. So we're starting to break new ground in a lot of the stuff. Now that we're aware of it, though, we can address it, and that's part of this process. It was raised the spring clean and the street speaks side of the process. That really is around community awareness and education. And how do you know if this is working? And this is probably one of the biggest questions. We can be out in the community, and as the CEO has mentioned, we've spent hundreds of hours in the community talking about how to be better prepared for disasters and all sorts of disasters, not just fires, how to become more resilient. The best way to see that is by the action that's being taken by the community, by council, by our partners. So to give you a bit of an idea, there's been a visual reduction in car bodies across the island. So we're starting to see cleaning occurring across the island. We've seen a lot more interaction with the community. We have our community champions who have actually, on our behalf, been out there in the community talking to people about how to become resilient. So that's a case of community supporting community. And at the end of the day, that's really a terrific goal and really is an end state when we have the community standing up and talking about how to be better prepared. We've also had a lot of mail outs, as we've discussed, and a lot of that has generated calls back to council about how to better improve vegetation management across both council land as well as community land, so privately owned land. Now, what I've noticed through that is a change in language. So it's not a case, it's no longer a case of we don't have any support. It's more of a case that we're getting back from the community through these calls. What can we do to help this process? We've received the letters, and we are really worried about our blocks. What can we do to improve our blocks? And that in itself is a change in language and a mind change, which is very important. We've also got, and the next point is improved mapping and information. Our mapping resources now have moved forward leaps and bounds in the last few months. We now have disaster response mapping available to the community through our external ReadyMap site. So you can go onto that site and quickly see fire hazards, landslide hazards, flood hazards right across the city. You can also see locations for evacuation centres, landing sites for helicopters, emergency neighbourhood safer places, assembly areas. So all that information is now out and available to the public. We've also been working on putting out information around vegetation protection orders. Now, that's a work in progress, and a lot of that information is being cleaned up now to make sure it's very accurate. But once it's out there, it'll give people an indication of what they need to be able to comply with and how they manage their properties with those sort of constraints. We're also updating the information on our council websites. So over the next couple of weeks, we'll have more information on those websites that will allow people to better manage their land. Simplified disaster management plans. That's another big aspect. We're in the final throes of actually having that data together, which will go into design soon. But essentially, what we're looking at doing is local area plans. So people will be able to go straight to their island plan and get the detail on that island plan. So very quickly, they'll be able to get the information they need. That will also apply to all the suburbs on the mainland. So every suburb will have its own specific disaster management plan. We've also got new signage being developed for the city. Now, through negotiations with the QFES, and very kindly, they're going to be providing 8 additional fire hazard rating signs across the city. There'll be 6 for the mainland, another 2 for the Southern Moreton Bay Islands. North Stradbroke Island already has a number of those, and Coochie has one as well, which they're going to assess the condition of before they provide any further. But essentially, that represents roughly $9,000 to $10,000 worth of signage that QFES will provide to us that we'll be able to put onto our roadsides. So when people are entering the city, when people are moving onto the islands, they will very quickly get an indication of the current fire danger rating. We're also developing additional emergency evacuation signage for the islands that will also have a small fire danger rating on them as well. And this is for people who not travelling via vehicle, travelling via ferries. When they get off at the ferry points, they'll be able to see this sign front and centre. So that's also another piece of work that's being undertaken at the moment. Now, along with all this, there is a compliance aspect. Obviously, when we have substandard dwellings and overgrown vegetation, there is a compliance aspect. Now, there's been a lot of work done in this space as well. Procedures have been changed so that compliance times are reduced down to roughly 40 days. But on top of that, there's officers who are focused on being, I guess you look at it, a proactive approach to the compliance aspects. And that will also improve greatly the community safety. Not only for those people who are living in, at-risk areas, but also for the wider community that are impacted during a major fire event. The use of the SABRE tool is another aspect. Now, this is the first in Queensland. It's never been done before. So with our mitigation programs, one, they've been reviewed already using the SABRE tool, and the SABRE tool essentially puts a science behind the program, determines what the exact benefit is going to be from doing those mitigation burns or the slashing or the fire trails. Now, moving forward, being able to use SABRE to actually plan our mitigation programs means that we can very quickly identify what benefits we're going to get from the different types of burns or slashing that we do across the city. As I said, this has never been done before in Queensland. It's being used as a case study, and I do know that there's quite a number of other local councils that are looking at instigating a similar sort of process, because it does put that science behind how we put together a mitigation program. Now, the next one's greater interoperability. Now, this is a big outcome that's occurred as a result of the review. And this is where we're looking at having joint operations between council and QFES in regards to those mitigation programs. They're going to support with the planning, and there's ability there to have them support in the operation, or the actual operational side of delivering some of these programs. We've also, for the first time, had a maritime coordinator as a result of this process. So essentially, our maritime services, and we're looking at VMR, Coast Guard, Water Police, the SES through their flood boats, as well as Surf Life Saving through their RIBS and their choppers, they've come together as a group and organised a maritime coordinator who will, during an emergency situation, be coordinating basically the flotilla of vessels on the water. So it's a case of all these organisations will have a coordinated approach. That person will sit within the local disaster coordination centre and therefore provide direct information and be a useful tool. So if we do need to move resources between islands, it's a very quick process, and we know what vessels we have available to be able to move those resources. And the last one was extended tip hours for islands. Obviously, this is a process that's supporting our cleanup spring clean campaign, which is run right across the city, but particularly on the islands. The extended hours, so that the tips are now open 7 days a week as opposed to 5 days a week. And that's to encourage the community to utilise those extra days. We've put out there that we need the community to join with us, so this is a way to help them help facilitate that process. That's being monitored at the moment to see if there's an increase in usage of those tip sites. I'd certainly hope that there will be by the community, because I do know through the phone calls, and I've fielded quite a number of phone calls from the community, they are very keen to get their blocks cleaned up. They are very keen to utilise these services. And again, that change in mindset is critical and a really key outcome from this whole process. Now, the next couple of slides, what I'm wanting to show you here is a quick snapshot of some of the areas that our mitigation program already covers. So this gives you an idea of some of the work that's being done by our crews at the moment. Now, that's the city north. The next slide will be the centre of the city, and then the southern city. Then next slide will be Coochie, and then we'll move over to the Simbies. So this is Maclay and Lamb, and the next slide will be Carragara and Russell Island, and then across to Stradbroke. The idea being, it gives you a bit of a representation, and I think until you sort of see it visually, it's hard to grasp the extent of the land that council currently manages. And we do that through our mitigation program. And that's also why this using the SABRE tool is also critical in this process, because it provides a science and will let us know this burn is a really worthwhile burn, because it will reduce our risk by a certain amount. And that's also key for our firefighters to be aware of as well, so that they get this, they'll be able to access this information as well, so that when they go out to attend a fire, they know what work's been done in that area. They know that there was a backburn only 3 weeks ago, or there was a backburn done last year, so we can expect a certain level of fuel load in that area. So as you can see, we're now using these resources and bringing together the different agencies to provide better outcomes for everyone. The next slide is the cost. Okay. So the cost to council. This cost represents cost to date, and essentially it's come out of existing budget. So this is a refocusing of budget. Most of the cost is related to officer time. So this is refocusing officers to be either dedicated to this project or have a substantial part of their time dedicated to this project. Along with that, there's also quite a lot of work in the advertising, the mail outs, letter drops, the community education and the street speak side. There's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes to put that together, a lot of information that's printed and provided to the public there, as well as other things such as signage, the extending the hours of the tip, that comes at a cost as well. So this gives you a quick snapshot of what costs council has incurred to date in order to put all these initiatives in place and to engage with the community and to engage with our state government peers and the businesses, so that we can provide a better outcome right across the city when it comes to community safety.
Thank you very much. And Mark, did you have any comments on that after? No? Councillor Hewlett, then Councillor Bishop.
Just a comment. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I have raised this before. I think on Simbi, it would be a fantastic idea if we made private certifiers, if they're developing a block with a bush overlay, bushfire overlay, they should be mandated to, or council, they should be mandated to investigate the surrounding blocks to make sure that they mitigate the issues that could be happening, whether that's a fire break or cleaning up their block, because I know Russell Island particularly well, and I've driven around. There's a lot of houses being built right in the middle of fairly thick bushland, and the blocks beside them, nothing's happening with them. There should be something through the building application or the planning process that enables us to mandate that we get onto those owners of those properties and to make do some fire mitigation. I think that would be a very simple way to handle that problem. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Bishop.
Thanks very much. I just want to acknowledge a significant body of work that builds on top of a great deal of work that's been going on in the disaster management and emergency preparedness arena, for which I'd like to thank, through you, Chair, Mike, and the team, and also the extended network who meet on a regular basis. I think it is very important to acknowledge that this is where both commercial businesses and government agencies align, and importantly on the ground, one of the important things in this is the identification of local champions that I know through Councillor Edwards that on the ground are trusted people in the community who are respected. So I just want to acknowledge that work that has happened over a long period of time, and I think this is a very welcome deepening of that. I also just want to acknowledge, can I ask if I may, just to, as I pause for a second, to just, is SABRE an acronym? I just think it's worthwhile clarifying what I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm sure it stands for something important. I just haven't been able to identify it in here. And I just think it, because it's going to be something that we're going to use going forward, I think that's, I'll leave that question, but I just think that it's something that people will be acquainted with. It'd be good to know a little bit more. I think it's an important part of the communications thing, where it's from and how we came by it. On that, I'd just like to raise that I know that in our consultation mentioned
Councillor
here,
Bishop, just so we all know, there's stimulation analysis-based risk evaluation.
Perfect.
Yeah, there you go. Is that clearer now?
Now, the reason I'd like to just identify that and bring it to our attention is that it is a new tool and a metric that is being applied here. And it doesn't escape my attention in a city where we have an ongoing custodial relationship with the Quandamooka people that I know we've identified with them under consultation places that may be seen to be of a significance, but I suspect that with 21,000 years of management of the land and areas that there may be some ongoing discussion with them that could be a mutual way forward that we could allow this innovative new best practice model to tie into that Indigenous connection to land and management to be part of the international story that is Redland City and how best practice, new innovative stuff goes with the ancient, oldest practice in the world. So I think that's one thing I'd like to identify. Second one on that, in local area planning, I think it's important that we, there will be a change in some people's understanding of what they think vegetation management is. And some people will think fire and they will think fear and they will think hot and dry and cut and get rid of. So what I'd like to ask is how can, in terms of improving vegetation management, which is what we was mentioning, you mentioned before, just how can we best balance the ecological matters of significance and be sure that this balance is nuanced to ensure that we don't just embark upon a wholesale loss of vegetation in ways that might upset the vital balance of flora and fauna within the city?
Point of order, Chair. Is this really to do with the review report, or is this a workshop we're going into?
There's a certain, I don't know what page it is, but actually the top paragraph, second paragraph on one of the top of the pages, it actually mentions fire management, and Councillor Bishop was seeking clarification on this point yesterday. No, he's just seeking clarification.
May I continue? Thank you.
Just go to that point that you were seeking clarification on,
yeah,
please.
Just wondering in relation to this fire management review report update, in terms of environmental significance, what measures are being taken to consider the value of areas of habitat, whether they're remnant, whether they're regrowth, whether they're otherwise developed areas? Just how are we balancing that? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. I might hand that one over to Rory, who's the expert in the area, and he can explain some of the work that's been going on in that space.
In response to that, from an ecological perspective, whenever we do any prescribed burns or undertake any work within the city, our staff are trained from an ecological perspective. They also ask questions of other senior officers who have years of experience within that area. With regards to Russell Island and the fire review, we are currently engaging with an ecological consultant who has upwards of 20 years' experience within fire ecology within South East Queensland to assist us with mitigation areas on the island and looking at whether we widen particular fire access trails, whether we widen, link particular areas and so forth. So we're wanting to make sure that whatever works we undertake on the island does not have a detrimental effect on the ecological values of these areas. Because we've got to understand a lot of these areas were, some of these areas were purchased for their ecological values. So For us, life and property is first and foremost, but we need to ensure that the ecological values are maintained and enhanced for the future.
Great, yeah, thank you very much. I just think that's important to acknowledge, given the extent of the land that council manages, so thank you very much.
Thank you. No further questions? Oh, yes, Councillor Elliott.
Look, this is still nice, the cost, but, you know, if we'd had probably an extra compliance or two officers on the ground, this just didn't happen overnight. This has been a build-up over the years, I would say. And I'd like to see disaster management, and it's proved we're reviewing our disaster management. The nice glossy catalogue at the end of the day doesn't save everybody at the end of the day. So I'm glad we're reviewing that. We get some local area plans, which do make sense. But it's a shame we've got to have nearly a disaster to improve our disaster management. I'd like to see disaster management and our guys in conservation and compliance working better together and identifying things. There's no use sitting back here in our offices and there, and I'm not saying anybody in this room is doing that. But certainly we need to be out there. This is a half and half. We've let the community down. The community's letting itself down. Hoarding, all this sort of thing. We need to be just on top of it. It's just this has got to be business as usual, not when it is an emergency we suddenly go into this and slap ourselves on the back and have a great time and a great report and we all stand in front of the camera. I just think this is, and I hope there's no other holly logs where some of this other things could happen like this. So certainly I fully support this report, but certainly it's of our own doing. And it's cost a bucket of money that the community really didn't need to spend in a reactive thing. We could have been doing it proactively as we went along. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Elliott. I agree. I think at the end of the day, this has been a fabulous opportunity for the various areas of council to come together and work much more closely together. It's a pity it was a case that an event like the fires has highlighted this. But moving forward, I think we have a great opportunity here to actually be seen as a model for other councils, to be honest. I think this is a great opportunity and we really need to grab this with both hands. Thanks.
I'd also just like to say in our lives, incidences come in and we think we're prepared. I didn't realise my gutter had quite so many holes in it until the last few days and I've got leaks all out the back of my shed. But and it's the same thing with this. Disaster management has been working very hard, but luckily we haven't had too many fires in Redlands and we don't have floods. And out of every one, we learn where those holes are. And I'd like to congratulate the officers on the work that they are doing to fill them up and make sure that the lessons learnt have all been actioned. And they've all been actioned extremely promptly. And the community has come on board like no other time. And I think that's where our strength is with our community champions. I'm looking forward to that going across the city because then in between disasters, they're going to be out there and be a voice for the community, but also eyes and ears for us. And I know Councillor Edwards speaks very highly of the community champions that are already in place on Simbi. So we've got a lessons learnt register, which we would have after every project or disaster, and we've moved through it, I think, with a speed that has to be commended, and hopefully next time those same actions will have filled those holes. With that, I'll pass back to Councillor Edwards. You have
Point of order, Chair. You mentioned we don't have floods in the Redlands. We do have floods.
I didn't say we don't have floods or don't have fires. I said we don't have many. So every time we do have one, we will learn more lessons. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Edwards?
Nothing further to add.
And we'll put the motion. All in favour. Thank you. So we'll move on to the monthly financial report. If I could have a mover and a seconder, please. Move, Councillor Gleeson. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Chair. It's standard monthly financial report. Just note that we're down on predicted cash holdings at the moment, but that's due to the rating cycle. Rating bills have just gone out, so that should catch up this month, and we're back on track again. Apart from that, our forecast deficit is looking better and better as we progress through the financial year. It's a great outcome.
A question, Councillor Hughes?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor. Through yourself, to our Chief Financial Officer, Deborah, on the report that you've is so informative, on page 6 of 15, materials and services analysis, just noticing all of the items on deficit there, could you just give us a brief update and explanation on that one? Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Through you as Chair, thank you for the question, Councillor, and thank you for the feedback, Councillor Gleeson. We see we're at period three now, so we've got a bit of a pattern emerging, and Council will recall back in June that operating deficit budget was adopted with a commitment from the executive leadership team to really work with the organisation, challenge managers and challenge officers to make efficiencies and savings wherever practical and possible. We're seeing that play out through the early stages in both operational employee costs and operational goods and services. So we're moving through to a budget review now, as has been mentioned earlier, looking to table that with councillors in December, where the variances are permanent variances and not just a timing issue. Council will hopefully receive give-ups. So we have a culture here that if we don't need the budget, we'll give it back, councillor. And if it's a timing issue, it may be that we rephase our budget. So probably expected by the executive leadership team that all the managers and officers in the organisation are working hard to come in better than that original budget. But we monitor it on a monthly basis.
Thank you. Any further questions or comments? I'll pass back to Councillor Gleeson.
Nothing further to add, Chair.
All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you.
So we'll move on to Community and Customer Service 10.2.1, decisions made under delegated authority. Can I have a mover, please? Move Councillor Elliott, seconded Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Chair. Move the 10.2.1
decision made under delegated authority. Thank you. Is there anyone against? A question? Councillor Hewlett.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Talt is probably able to answer this, but on the Category 2, 157 to 195 Woodlands Drive, Thornlands, I've just noticed that was a code assessment. I would have thought, I know that we had a decision made about this earlier, but I thought it still would have been impact assessable given that it's still in a rural non-urban environmental area. So just wondered if I could get an answer on that.
Is there an officer, Andrew, did you know that one at all? Is there an officer that can answer that? No?
What exactly is the question?
I thought it would have been made impact assessable because it's under the current planning scheme, it's still rural, non-urban and
approved
conservation.
Approved under a court judgment, Madam Chair, therefore
but did the court judgment actually change the zoning that we assess it against? That's all I'm asking.
Louise, yes. Have you got a... Thank you.
Thank you to Deputy Mayor. Our office is in the background and he's nodding yes. So, correct.
Thank you for that. Back to Councillor Elliott. We've got one. Councillor Bishop seconded.
All good? Okay. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. 10.2.2. Planning and Environment Court Matters. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Hughes. Seconder Councillor Elliott. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Moving item 10.2.2, Planning and Environment Court Matters, current as at 3rd October 2017. Thank you.
Is there a speaker against or any comment? Back to you, Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to seek just a very brief explanation on new items appearing on the list, item 5 and item 6 over the page, regarding action notice and enforcement notice on this development. Thank you.
Andrew, would you be able to? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Hughes, those two appeals are regarding a compliance action and also a condition of assessment. Those two appeals are being negotiated at the moment.
If there's no further comment, we put the motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Happy to move the officer's recommendation that Council resolves to note this report.
Thank you. All in favour? Passed unanimously.
Item 10.2.3, delegations for Planning Act. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Move Councillor Bishop, seconded Councillor Hughes. Councillor Bishop.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like to move item 10.2.3, Delegations for Planning Act and Planning Environment Court Act 2016. Just noting that the purpose of the report is to update delegations to the CEO under the Planning Act and Planning Regulation and update the limitation of powers conferred to delegation to include exemption certificates for development that has been categorised as accessible development only because of particular circumstances that no longer apply. I'll speak to that in a moment, but that's moving that motion.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against or any comment or question? Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just comment on page 25. We've got a couple of examples here and over the page to 26. I just don't want anyone to feel that this moving of this issue, that this delegation is only referencing these two properties. That is not the case. These are examples only. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Bishop.
Yes, thank you. Just further to that motion that I read out, it does specifically, the delegation sought relates to S.463B.2 and its associated administrative functions. The development was categorised as accessible development only because of particular circumstances that no longer apply. That really is just following on changes to the Planning Act. And it is across, it does apply across the city. The two examples were just provided for our edification, and it's really just in line with the functions and powers of the state. Thank you.
So you're happy to put happy the motion?
Happy to put that motion.
Okay. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Moving on to 10.2.4, annual sign licensing. Can I have a mover and seconder, please? Anyone will do. Councillor Elliott moves. Can I just get a seconder before you speak? Seconded Councillor Edwards. Councillor.
Are we seconding that motion on the board?
No. I want to have a chat first.
The licence. Yes.
No, I wasn't. I was going to talk. I was going to say something, and then it went. I'll withdraw mine anyway.
All right. So continue. Sorry, Councillor Elliott. Well, nothing's been moved.
That's okay. No, I was going to say I haven't spoken to councillors, but I was going to ask for a deferral in this item, so we're going to have a further conversation on this. We got some information from Graham Simpson yesterday, and I'm a bit confused from that information and the report.
Okay, would you like to move a motion then that this report lies on the table? Yeah. And I think Councillor Gleeson, did you say? Sorry? Did you want a date associated with it?
I think it'll be right by the next general.
Next general meeting. Councillor Gleeson, I think you seconded that, didn't you? Yep. All in favour of letting this one lie on the table?
Can I ask a question before you?
Yep.
Is there any issue?
No. Graham's shaking his head. No. Okay. All in favour of letting it lie on the table? Thank you.
Just for clarification. We're leaving it low on the table, but it will come back to next general.
Yes.
So we don't need to have...
No, that's what the motion said. Yep.
Well, thank you.
And in that meantime, we'll get the clarification required by the councillors.
Thank you.
So Graham's on notice. Can I have a mover, please, for 10.3.1 cemetery fees? Yes, Councillor Edwards.
Yes, item 10.3, cemetery fee adjustment. I move the officer's recommendation as written.
And seconded, Councillor Elliott. Councillor Edwards, would you like to...
Thank you. I'm very pleased with the recommendation of the fees. I believe they're quite affordable. And I think probably part of the reason why they are affordable is that these particular gardens were basically an existing maintained piece of land that council already had and was looking after, and we've just done some minor embellishments to that to enable for some plaques to be put there. It's not a cemetery with as people would imagine. In fact, it's more of a interaction area for everyone. Right next to where these gardens are, there's a tree with a little ladder going up which kids play in, which is good to see. There's 100 spaces that have been made available in the in this first stage, and already I believe that 11 residents have expressed interest to take that up. And I, from the phone calls I've been receiving, there are many more residents who are seeking more information and just waiting for these fees to be settled. So I think it's a good result for the community, and I think the fees are affordable. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes, a comment or a question?
Both. Thank you. I note in the council resolution and officer's recommendation, point one, that we are looking to amend the fees through a mistake that's been picked up. Further to that, in my questions yesterday following up, I understand that four families have been overcharged this amount of about $300, and council will be contacting those families, hopefully following this resolution, to return that money. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Nope. I'll pass back to you. Thank you, Councillor Edwards.
Nothing further to
put the motion. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Okay, 10.3.2, Drinking Water Quality Management Plan. May I have a mover and seconder, please? Move, Councillor Hughes. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Councillor Hughes.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Moving 10.3.2, Drinking Water Quality Management Management Plan, with their annual report. It can be a bit of a play on words there. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against? Or any comment or question? A comment, Councillor Bishop?
Yeah, just acknowledging that we all drink water in Redland City, and it's great to see that when an issue does arise, if anyone notices an anomaly, let council know. The officers go out and do water testing. This report just demonstrates the level of due diligence and good work that they do, and it's great to know that such an important resource is managed by council, and it's vital for us all. So yeah, keep us informed if you notice anything, but yeah, great to have the officers on top of it all. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Hughes, you had a comment?
Yes, thank you. On page 36, strategic implications, the Act requires this report to be an annual report, but when you actually look at it, the report was submitted in 23rd June 2016, and one could think that was a mistake, which I initially thought on reading the report. That's not a mistake. That's the report being put in for review, and this is the annual report following that. Thank you. This will be our mayor. Thank you. So, and in the report on page 4 of the report, item 5, customer complaints related to water quality, we all note how great this report is, 100% across the board, truly a magnificent response for our residents here in Redland City. But when we always look at the complaints, as Pastor Scott was mentioning this morning, when we look at this, it's a total complaints about water quality, and it's including per 1,000 connections, 1.94. My question to Peter Best, our General Manager, what does 1.94 really equate to across our city? Thanks.
Get your calculator out.
Yeah. Madam Deputy Mayor, Councillor Hughes, I'll take that question on notice because I don't have at my hand at the moment the number of connections within the city. So some mathematical analysis will need to be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Best. With this complaints table, majority of this is discoloured water, and we know that our pipes break. The water quality is not under question. We have very limited discoloured water numbers here, but that would be our major issue that I would receive through our resident complaints. Thank you.
Right, thank you. If there's any further comments or questions, I'll pass back to, I think, Councillor Hughes to put the motion.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. The motion is that Council resolves to endorse the Drinking Water Quality Management Plan Annual Report 16-17 as attached. Happy to move the motion. Thank you.
All in favour?
Aye.
Passed unanimously. Thank you. So there's no mayoral minute. There's no notices of motion that I'm aware of. Yes, Councillor Gleeson?
Thanks, Chair. I've sent Liz a urgent motion without notice, please.
Have we got that at all, Councillor Gleeson?
You do now.
Is that allowed to go up on the board, or?
Would you like me to read it, Chair? So the public can hear it.
On the first bill, oh yes, sorry. Determine whether it's urgent first, so we'll go through that process. Do I have a copy of the...
Yeah. I haven't got a computer with me.
Yeah.
And, you know, like this is a fishing expedition. I'd like a copy before I want to read it thoroughly before I engage, not by paragraph by paragraph.
They don't have their devices with them. We'll have to adjourn for 5 minutes while the motion is printed out so every councillor can have a copy. Can I have a move by Councillor Edwards, seconded by Councillor Bishop? All in favour of adjourning for 5 minutes while we receive a printed copy?
Deputy Mayor?
Yes?
I won't get a printed copy, so can someone email it to me?
Did you...
The Mayor would have been on the receiving list.
Councillor Gleeson said it. You should have been on the receiving list of the... Just now. We came through just now. Yeah, it'll be a very tight 5 minutes. It was all in favour? It was carried? Yep. Thank you. So we're just adjourning the meeting for 5 minutes, everybody. To adjourn back into formal. Thank you, Councillor Elliott. Councillor Tolte second that. All in favour? Right, so
everyone has got a copy. I'll give you a couple of minutes to read it. And I think the mayor has been called back. Hello, mayor. She's been called back in to represent Logan and them. Was that a voice then? It's background. I think the mayor's been called back in to represent Logan, giving their motions. Not sure. Okay, so we'll read this so you've got time to have a look at it.
But we need to do that first, don't we?
Okay, Councillor Gleeson, would you like to move? Sorry, I just don't have that wording in front of me. Would you like to move that council resolve that this business is urgent?
Yes, Chair, I'd like to move that council resolve that this item is an urgent item.
And is there a seconder to that? Councillor Tolte? All in... No, that's it. Now you have to
assess it,
is that correct? Yep, would you like to give us your points, please?
Thanks, Chair. I've got my reason why it's urgent, but I think to come to that, I think I need to do a little bit of background about what it's about.
No, you've got to actually talk to the urgency of it first.
Okay, well, the item is that Council resolves to prepare a submission to the Local Government Association regarding Operation Valcara. And we only have, as a Council, we only have until 26th of October to do that. Council won't sit. We won't have another general meeting after today to meet that time frame. So it's an urgent item because this will be the last opportunity that we'll be able to make this decision.
Okay. Can I have advice on the procedure? Do we now put it to the vote? Okay. It's moved and seconded. You got a question? Do we do questions at this time or does it go straight to a vote?
Council has to form their own view about whether the matter is urgent. That's the first hurdle. We're not even really considering the content. The background was it's got to be done by next week.
By the 26th,
you make a decision about each individual council decides if they think it's urgent. We take a vote. If the majority think it's urgent, okay, then we open the door.
But are we allowed to have a discussion now? Are they allowed to ask questions on that? They're allowed to ask questions on that?
Help them decide whether the motion is urgent, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Elliott, then Councillor Bishop, then Councillor Golley.
Thanks, Chair. I don't have a problem with the first paragraph, if you bring that up. As I understand, there's a committee is working on submissions for donations, developer donations, but there's another committee on Councillor code of conduct process or
there's
whatever, right?
There's two.
So it's not right to start with on what? I don't have a problem with making a submission as council. I won't accept the rest of it. But council comes together. We can have a special meeting next week and do it. That's not a problem. I don't have a problem with it. This wasn't raised yesterday. It wasn't flat out being raised now. And I don't have a problem with making a submission on those two things. But I'm certainly not endorsing what is in those in that motion.
Okay, so at the moment we're just talking on urgency, not the actual contents of the
as
motion.
Long as I would accept it's urgent, but it's not correct in, you know, we've got two there.
Yep, so what we're doing now is voting on the urgency and then we can discuss the motion and whether you support the motion or not. Okay. I've got Councillor Bishop, Golley, then Tolte.
Yeah, in my view, the urgency relates to our ability to form an opinion. And what I mean by that is individuals have every right to make a submission. For council to make an informed decision, this is not the appropriate forum for us to urgently make a decision based on one councillor expressing their views, because it feels a little bit like having that sprung on us. And I think for us to move any we're away from the recommendations of the various committees that have been looking over this for many, many months and do something very sudden as an urgent item of motion of urgent business. I wish that Councillor Gleeson would have spoken to us previous to give us more information. I feel very reluctant to take something that other organisations and committees have looked at for months and suddenly throw it through one person's interpretation and proceed with that as a motion. But so I'm concerned I don't see the urgency in this particular point. And going to what Councillor Elliott raised before, I don't have a problem with the first portion, but for us to come up with an interpretation based on one person...
OK, it's just on the urgency at the moment that we're talking about. OK, Councillor Golley, it's just the urgency, not the content.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would like to support the motion that it is urgent based on the requirement to have something supplied by the 26th. I just want to clarify. So is this going to be a submission based on the organisation?
No, you can always saying at the moment is this urgent?
Yeah,
that
well,
is
I'll
not, but that's not voting for the guts of it.
Yeah, that's OK.
OK, that's just saying support whether it's urgent or not. That's all we're voting on at the moment.
Got it.
Councillor Tolte, then Edwards.
I think there was someone else in between, but I don't know who it was.
Yeah, it was Paul.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just had a question about, I accept that it's urgent. I'm just not quite sure and this may be a question for after, but is the whole thing the motion or is there explanatory notes and part of it is the motion? I'm not quite sure. Are we voting on the whole thing being urgent? Okay, so everything that's on this page is the motion. There's no, like the bit down the bottom is not notes sort of arguing about the motion. All right, thank you.
Yep, so we're just voting on whether it's urgent because submissions have to be in by the 26th of October and there won't be another general meeting before there if we're going to do a whole of council one.
Heard that it was going to be on the whole information.
Yeah, but...
But I'm not endorsing what is said below paragraph one.
No, but so what we're saying now is, but to discuss this, is it urgent and needs to be done now because we don't have a general meeting before the submissions are due?
We're going to have a special meeting. We've only got to give 2 days' notice, I understand, for a special meeting.
Okay. Well, we'll keep to the... We've got Councillor Edwards and Councillor Hughes.
Due to the time constraints, I agree that it is urgent. What comes, how we discuss that, what we accept, reject, move from there, that'll be discussed and that'll be sorted out in that process. But as there is a time constraint, yeah, I agree that it's urgent.
Councillor Hughes.
Just seeking some clarification so I can be very clear in my own mind, resolving to prepare a submission is the issue of urgency. Would this then be discussed now or would we then come together as a council to prepare? I'm just not 100% sure on
okay,
how
so
the procedure would then
yep,
follow through.
Yep, so
thank
if
you.
We decide it is urgent, we then would discuss what Councillor Gleeson has put forward to us as his motion and then you can either vote for it or against it or amend it. Does that clarify that, Councillor Hughes? Councillor Elliott?
Question. I haven't got my submission ready to do, so we're doing one submission. You know what? I've got other comments than both those things. I'd like to make comments. I haven't got them here, and I haven't finished.
Okay, so at the moment we're only voting on the urgency. Then.
Yeah. And then we're going to discuss.
And
that.
Then we if this gets up as being urgent, we then discuss what it actually is and what's in it. Okay. Councillor Gleeson.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, look, the content of the motion is beside the point at the moment. It's got nothing to do with what's on this bit of paper. The what, through you, Chair, councillors, all we're doing asked at the moment is this an urgent matter? The fact is we've only got until the 26th of October to get a submission into the Local Government Association. We do not have a general meeting between now and then, and we don't just make up general meetings on the trot. So this item really needs to be discussed today. Happy to discuss the content of the motion once we get to the next point. But the point is, this is an urgent notice of motion. It is an urgent item because we don't have another opportunity to address it as a councillor, as a council.
Councillor Bishop.
A question through you, if I may, to Councillor Gleeson. Councillor Gleeson, can I ask, why is this urgent today, given that it has been a very topical matter for some time, and was it not raised prior to now?
Would you like a reply on that? Maybe I didn't sleep well last night.
I have my... if the vagaries of office are up to the vagaries of sleep, then I think we may want to have a more strategic approach to how we make laws.
Okay.
Or Councillor propose Hewlett. Decisions.
Thank you. Councillor Hewlett, you had your hand up.
Yeah. Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I don't agree that it's urgent, but I just find that comments up there being in the public realm is quite inflammatory and towards council officers, like saying that the CEO shouldn't be the judge or jury. That's an inflammatory comment.
Okay, you can discuss that at all. Oh.
Well, I don't agree that it's urgent.
Okay. So, okay, we'll put the motion then as Councillor Gleeson has moved. It is urgent. Councillor Tolte, you seconded that, yes? Okay, we'll put it up. Is it an urgent motion? Those in favour, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Boglari. Those against, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett. So the motion is passed. Would you now like to speak to it, Councillor Gleeson? Is that the way we go now? She's away. She's gone inside. Okay, you've now got to... Councillor Elliott?
Maybe we defer this to a workshop. A special meeting at the end of next week and we can discuss the full conduct?
We can't because it's due on the 26th. That was the matter of urgency.
Well, I've had special meetings where we've been in at 9 o'clock and we've made a decision. It's in the government's hand by 4. That's all I'm saying is we're talking about one thing. Nobody else has got a submission. I don't have a problem with discussing, but we're doing this on the run. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Oh, yeah, but that's what you workshop it for.
So Councillor Elliott now wants to move. I'm sorry that we can't do that. It's back to Councillor Gleeson to speak to his motion. And does he get a seconder now, then go back to him to speak to it? Okay, Councillor Gleeson, you're going to move it. Who's going to second the motion, please? As it is on the board. Okay. Councillor Edwards is going to second that motion. Councillor Gleeson, would you like to speak to the motion, please?
Thanks, Chair. Following the 2016 local government elections, the state government introduced Operation Belcara. That was to address a number of complaints of corruption or perceived corruption in the processes in local government. The state government have been finalising and going out seeking submissions from the public over the last couple of months, and the local government association are putting a submission themselves representing local governments. We as a council have until the 26th of October this month to put in our submission from this council. What I've put in the motion, and I'll read that out if I may, seeks to improve transparency in the community. It seeks to remove doubt and improve many processes that we as an organisation, and we wouldn't be on our own here in Redlands, but as an organisation struggle to deal with quite regularly. So the motion reads that Council resolve to prepare a submission to the Local Government Association and the Department of Local Government in line with the following points. On the first bill of councillor complaints, the CEO or any other council officer should not be the judge and jury of councillor complaints. Rather, it should be referred to an independent assessor.
Councillor Hewlett?
That's a provocative and subjective statement. The CEO is never the judge and jury of anything. It's not an opinion. He's stating a fact there, and that's, to me, that's a provocative denigrating our officers.
It's not a point of order. We'll let Councillor Gleeson continue reading this motion.
Thanks, Chair. On the first bill of councillor complaints, the CEO or any council officer should not be the judge and jury of councillor complaints. Rather, it should be referred to an independent assessor to remove any potential of the CEO becoming a political scapegoat. That complainants sign a legally binding statutory declaration with each of their complaints to weed out serial complainers who use the system as a political tool at great expense to the ratepayers. The system needs to consider penalties and or costs for those who abuse the system at multiple levels with frivolous and vexatious complaints made to the CEO, the Ombudsman, the CCC, and or using parliamentary privilege to discredit public servants or for purely political motivation. Not only are there expensive financial implications for government and taxpayers in dealing with frivolous complaints, but it also damages the reputation of the sector. On the local government electoral bill, that all political donations be banned, including stakeholders such as unions, developers, and third-party green groups such as Redlands 2030, CARP, Koala Action Group.
Point of order.
Yeah, your point of order, Councillor Elliott.
Councillor Gleeson is focusing on local community groups, and he doesn't worry about anybody else. This is just pointed to aim at local community groups. This is ridiculous.
Chair, I think I need to be able to read.
Naming people is ridiculous. You know?
I think I need to be able to read the rest of it.
You would not allow the public to say this is an address.
I think I need to be able to read the rest of the motion before comment.
I'm just having clarification on whether it's a point of order.
If you look at the point of order in 17.2, it says a point of order is not to be used as a mean of contradicting a statement made by a councillor speaking about a matter. So you can have a difference of opinion, but that's not a point of order.
If we let Councillor Gleeson finish his reading of it, we will then speak for or against, and then we will vote on it.
Thanks, Chair. Failing a total ban on donations, any organisation that has or will actively participate in election campaigns of any nature, such as endorsing or disendorsing candidates, running political rallies, should be required to declare all donations and expenses in real time to provide complete transparency to the community. They shall also be required to provide evidence of their legal entity and adherence to the requirements of the law pertaining to their structure and guiding legislation.
Okay, is there a speaker for the motion? Oh, against the motion? Councillor Elliott?
Deputy Mayor, this is totally inappropriate, I believe, so the timing of this was so urgent that it came at 11:59. I find it bizarre that Councillor Gleeson said about, what is it, campaigns, any organisation that has or will actively participate in election campaigns of any nature, running political rallies should be required to declare all donations exposed. Oh, we've got lots of things there. I can't support this. This is just a one-off thing. It's totally inappropriate. And if you want to bring it, you bring it to a workshop. I don't have a problem. We go through this in the normal process. Otherwise, we start up this notice of motion thing. Well, we can run the council by notice of motion, and you'll find out when it hits the floor. This is ridiculous. I don't have a problem considering it, and I would not support it in the worded form that it is, that we defer this decision. Don't defer this. We knock this over. I may be able to have a workshop it. Do it the way you should do it, and then we can all have our valued comments put on board and opinions, and then that's the submission. I'll be making my own private submission, and I encourage councillors to do it, but certainly I can't support this. This is a load of rubbish.
Speaker four. Okay. I'll open it up for comments then. You'd have to go into informal because I needed a speaker four. You can't have two againsts in a row. Okay. So, no, because it wasn't a speaker four. So we'll move out of informal so everyone gets a chance to speak on it. I'll go round the table starting with Councillor Golly. Oh, sorry. we are moved out of informal and we're going...
Well, I was going to propose an amendment to the motion.
Can I ask some questions first?
Yep, we'll go around when it gets to you, Councillor Tolte. We'll do that one.
My amendment is accepted, then we won't need to discuss all of the things that are in the motion. So I would suggest that the amendment should be discussed first.
So I'll go to Councillor Tolte's amendment.
Can I ask questions?
Sorry. Okay, have you sent the amendment through to Liz?
Yes.
Because we don't know what your amendment is and we'd have to vote
simple.
To bring
I'm
an amendment.
I'm just suggesting that we agree to make a submission and that the content of the submission will be decided in a workshop in a timely manner next few days. So
we can't decide in a workshop. We would have to have a...
You would need a special meeting.
We would need a special meeting.
Why would we need a special meeting in order to decide the content of a submission?
General Manager of Organisational Services.
For Council, as an elected body, to make a decision, the only way that can be done is by resolution, and you can only pass a resolution in a general meeting or a special meeting, an open Council meeting. There's no other way to get an officially endorsed Redland City Council position other than by a resolution.
So we can't resolve to make a submission?
No, because the content of that submission is not known by Council. It may not be supported by a majority. It would need to be done. You could have a special meeting and agree on the content of a submission and make a submission. That's fine. And as Councillor Elliott said, you do need 2 days' notice. So that would be your only way to get either do it now, because you're in Council, or you have a special meeting. But if you want to get a properly endorsed Redland Council submission, it must be full open meeting.
I'm happy to support that. Going, this one goes down. That's exactly what I was going to raise.
If we do this on Friday and we've got agreement, then we can approve it.
I think Friday's too early to meet the statutory. It'd have to be early next week.
Okay. No, sorry. I meant if we workshop it on Friday and then councillors are in agreement on content, then we could...
Well, the officers could provide a briefing to councillors on the content of both of those parliamentary inquiries to inform council, and then at the council meeting, council could make a decision about the content of their...
Okay. Yeah.
It's not to the Local Government Association, is it, from my reading of the... it's to...
Sorry, there are two requests out there at the moment. So the Local Government Association of Queensland has requested all councils to submit submissions to them if we wanted to. And they will try and form an industry position to put to the parliamentary inquiry. The parliamentary committee has also asked each council if they want to make a submission, and the general public and any individual in the world can make their own submission on those as well.
There's two separate bills. One's implementing the Belcara report, the 31 recommendations from the CCC, and the other is on customer councillor complaints. So there's two separate bills.
Chair, can I point out, it's not about banning developers, it's about banning all donations, not developers.
Okay.
All
so
donations.
At the moment, Councillor Tolte has... The council resolves to prepare a submission to the local government... No, it can't be the local government association. It's got to be to...
It could be the LGAU and the parliamentary committee.
And parliamentary committee. In lines with concerns raised, that the content of the submission be decided through a workshop, and would you have to then say and brought back
decided,
to us?
We have to take decided out because it would be appropriate.
Discussed at a workshop,
yep.
And voted on at a special meeting. 5 days' notice, is it?
I'd prefer briefing than workshop. in that resolution?
Briefing?
Yep.
At a workshop?
No, no. Workshop.
And as appropriate. So if we don't come to it, if we don't come to an agreement on the content, then there's no point having a special meeting.
Yeah, but if we don't have 5 days' notice, and as we've only got to the 26th to do it, we probably should have have it there, or we might miss out on our timeframes there, I'm thinking.
I don't want to be pedantic, but I wouldn't be putting any of those adopting resolutions about making decisions anywhere other than at the special meeting. There'll be administrative things behind that, but yeah. Yep. Respectfully, I think what your only option that you're suggesting is that we call a special meeting to consider making submissions on both of these bills.
Oh, it's 2 days' notice for a special meeting? The name of the bills is the Local Government Electoral Implementing Bell, CARA and Other Amendment Bill 2017, because I sent an email to 40 councils, 40 papers across Queensland yesterday asking everyone to get stirred up and put in their submissions. So I remember that one. Local Government Electoral in brackets Implementing Bell, CARA and other legislation amendment bill, and I don't know the name of the complaints one because I... I thought you would have read them by now, Andrew. I've read them.
Plus explanatories.
Yep, done my explanatories.
Plus a number of recommendations.
Yep.
About 80 odd
Okay, now that we've actually got the amended motion, we have to vote whether we'll accept an amended motion first. Okay, so we're voting on actually is this now going to be the motion? So Julie's put for Councillor, sorry, Councillor, yes, Councillor Elliott?
I'd consider that this is in conflict with the original motion because there's a whole new chapter in there as well. And I'm supporting that. Yeah, I'd support that, but I'm just saying the other one, I personally think, for clarity, it should be voted down the first one, then put that one up. Don't have a problem. But that's in conflict with
because
the original
Because it's in conflict
motion.
And the original, and the amendment motion can't be in conflict, can it?
Julia, sir, I'm just trying to get...
So who decides whether it's in conflict with the first motion?
It's not really in conflict. It's saying both motions say that.
I think the first motion was just so appalling that we can't get it right.
Councillors, I am seeking clarification, Councillor Gleeson.
Well,
on who decides that everyone was speaking. Sorry, I'm trying to find out whether this is in conflict and who decides that, because I've never had when a chair has had to do that.
The original motion is still sitting there.
Well, the standing orders, again, amendment of a motion, which is what we're really talking about here, I think, say that amendment to a motion must be in terms which retain the general intent of the original motion and not negate the motion. Now, the question is who decides that? Well, the answer is council will decide that. So this is what your standing orders say. At the end of the day, you guys will decide whether this new motion is in general terms, general intent with the original motion and does not negate the motion.
So do we vote on that before we vote on accepting the amended? Okay, we think about that while we vote on this. Okay, so we're now putting... Can we have a seconder to accepting the amended motion? Is that correct? Yep. Okay, Councillor Elliott has accepted the amended motion. Okay, so this is ready to go. So now this is now the motion. And do I go back to Councillor Tolte to discuss the motion? Okay, this is now live and we're in formal proceedings, and we're back to Councillor Tolte if you want to speak to this motion, please.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Look, I'm not
to move the motion.
Happy to move the motion. Do I speak to the motion now?
And Councillor Elliott has seconded it.
Okay, I'm not seeking to negate any of the concerns that have been raised in the previous motion. I'm just simply suggesting that with the timeframes and the intent of the motion was that we come to an agreement on a submission, that the only way forward to get to an agreement on a submission is to go through the process as it is laid out there. And that will in turn allow not only the concerns that have been raised in the motion previous to this, but allow other councillors time and ability to add their notes and their concerns to the future motion that has to come back to a special meeting, so that everyone's concerns can be included and time can be allowed to cook, if you like, the motion. So I would suggest that that allows a fair and reasonable way forward.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Golay.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I believe that the original motion can be modified as we go. I'd like to add certain aspects to that original motion, which I think are fair and equitable and will create a whole lot of transparency.
Point of order.
Point of order, Councillor Elliott.
You're talking to the amended motion, not to previous motion.
Motion. Yep. Please stick to this motion now.
Good. I don't support that motion. I want the original one. Is that clear enough?
Point of order. I think you should apologise to the Chair for that statement.
Okay. I'll retract my comment.
Thank you. You're against? Fine. Is there a speaker for the motion? Councillor Elliott.
Looks great. That's how you should do it.
Speaker against the motion, Councillor Gleeson.
That's how you do it if you're too afraid of transparency, Chair. This is just...
Excuse me.
Point of order.
Yes, point of order. Thank you, Councillor Elliott.
Councillor's casting aspersions on councillors and everybody in this room. I'd ask him to withdraw it.
Please withdraw your comment, Councillor Gleeson.
I don't see why, but I will. I'll withdraw it.
Thank you. Where are we up to now? That was against. Speaker for the motion, Councillor Bishop.
We're at a point where I think it's important that we do make a view on this. I think this removes the conflict of the previous, which had both Oxy and Moron in it, and it allows us to move to something that can give us some clarity, because I think it. I won't speak to the previous, but I have my thoughts about it.
Speaker Against the motion?
Move the motion.
Okay, the motion's been put. And then we go all in favour? All in favour of this motion? Those in favour, Councillor Bishop, Councillor Tolte, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Boglari. Those against, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Golay. So the amended motion, which has now become the motion, is passed. So, back to where we were. Last time I say I didn't know of any motions coming forward. And I didn't know, that's true. Okay, closed session. Okay,
point of order. Chair, are you going to start?
I've already called the point of order myself. Thank you, Councillor Gleeson. Okay, we're now going to move into closed session.
Can you
retract that statement, please, Councillor Hughes?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I will retract. Just jolly cross about the whole thing.
Thank you. Okay, can I have a mover and seconder, please, to move into closed session? Move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Tolte. All in favour? Passed unanimously. Thank you. Put the eyes back on. I can imagine. I don't know where Councillor Tolte is. No, she can. Yep, it's been recorded in the minutes. Okay, can I have a mover and seconder for 15.1.1 Redlands Investment Corporation? Move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Edwards. Who would like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott? Done and dusted. Bit of fun going on at the local government conference. All in favour? Those against? Right, all in favour? Councillor Hughes, Elliott, Edwards, Hewlett, Golay, Williams, Boglari, those against, Bishop and Gleeson. Thank you. Number 15.2.1, provision of council services. Move, Councillor Elliott. Seconded, Councillor Hughes. Would you like to speak to it, Councillor Elliott? Thank you. Would anyone else? No? Then we'll put the motion. All in favour? Thank you. So that was... Oh, okay, those against, Councillor Bishop. So those in favour, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Williams, Councillor Boglari. Those against were Councillor Bishop. I'm just trying to find where this one fits in. What was its number? Okay, 15.2.2, assessment of proposal.
Can I see the recommendation on that one? We still haven't put on the end of that. Yeah, that it gets released after it's finished.
It's in the report that says it will be released at the settlement of some of relevant contracts. It's in the officer's recommendation at point four.
Whichever is earlier.
Yeah.
Yep, okay. So you're happy to put the motion? Yep, all in favour? Murray moved it, Councillor Edwards seconded it. It's okay, all in favour? Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards,
Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Williams, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Bishop? Which one are we up to now, Liz? 15.2.3. Okay, 15.2.3. Councillor Hewlett, did you want to...
Happy to move how it is on the board there, thank you. If you can stop it moving.
I just want to make sure that was what you eventually...
Councillor,
is that the late item? Oh, sorry, yes. Sorry, you haven't got it in front of you. That council resolves to one, that council resolves to not appeal the judgment and agrees to commence a review of Redlands Centre's strategy, and two, maintain this report as confidential until the appeal is finalised.
Thank you.
Happy to move that, Councillor Hewlett?
Yes, thank you, Deputy Mayor.
And seconded, Councillor Bishop. All in favour? Those against?
Aye.
Okay, all in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Hewlett, Councillor Golay, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Edwards? And Councillor Williams. Thank you. Julie's absence has been noted on all of them, and also Councillor Mitchell being an apology. 15.3.1, delegated authority. And we've got the motion on the board. I could have a mover, Councillor Edwards, a seconder, Councillor Bishop. Was there, all in favour? Those against? Those in favour? Councillor Bishop, Councillor Gleeson, Councillor Hughes, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Edwards, Councillor Golay, Councillor Williams, Councillor Boglari. Those against? Councillor Hewlett. Yes. And I declare the meeting closed at 1:26. Thank you, councillors. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Go back and get those things through.